Meeting to order, it's 9:00 a.m. If we will start to my right with introductions, the committee wouldn't mind introducing themselves?
Yeah, Brian Hoynick, OCMA.
Ken McFarland, representing HASC, Hospital Association of Southern California.
Ron Blau by First District.
Kevin Miller, Orange County EMS.
Tammy McConnell, Orange County EMS.
Sam Stratton, Orange County EMS.
Michelle Tom, Society of Emergency Medicine.
Wolfgang Kanabi, Orange County Fire Chiefs Association.
Paul Hennessy, UCI Police Chief, here for the Orange County Police Chiefs Sheriff's Association.
Philip Davis, representing the Ambulance Association of Orange County.
Margie Harrier, representing Orange County Business Council.
Sharon Hoyer, representing Orange Coast Emergency Nurses Association.
Patrick Powers, Second District.
Thank you. If I could get one of the committee members to, all the committee members to look at the minutes and get approval of the minutes from last meeting.
Recommend approval.
Second.
Thank you. The minutes are approved.
And I'll start with the EMS Medical Director update. And the first thing I'd like to do is recognize two of our committee members who will be terming out. And Tammy, you want to help me with this?
Here, I'll pass.
Since we don't have much room, I'm going to move down to Chief Hennessy and to Mr. Davis. You guys will get.
Is it time?
Yeah. So, yeah, both are receiving this certificate, suitable for framing. In 2008, the county would have framed it, but it's 2014, and the county gives you this.
No, the county has a different certificate they do.
County gives you this paper cover.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you, Sam. Appreciate it.
I just want to add that with these two members terming out, we do have a few other members that they're not terming out, but we will be seeking renewals from the categories that they represent. And so I'll be sending out letters to a few of the organizations to renew your terms if you're eligible. So Chief Kanabi, Dr. Hoynick, Margie, and then the Ambulance Association and the OC Police Chiefs will receive an invite for them to send a representative to this group. So we could process those hopefully within the next 6 weeks and get everybody on board by the August or at least October meeting.
Great. Continuing with the Medical Director update, we have brought it up before in past meetings, and just so that everyone is aware, Dr. Annis was not able to make it here today. He's speaking at a conference at UCI, but and he represents or he is from CHOC. Anyway, CHOC is still pursuing, and we're working with them in potentially coming up as a pediatric trauma center, probably sometime this fall if all goes well. So the CHOC Pediatric Trauma Center, I guess I could call it initiative or application, is still active and moving along. That will bring up later in this year discussions on triage of pediatric patients and likely some more discussion here before EMCC. The other thing I'd like to bring up under the Medical Director report is the community paramedicine programs. In April, the Anaheim Fire presented their proposal for a nurse practitioner paramedic combination to do community as a community resource unit. We've further worked on that, and currently that program is moving along. I think maybe before our next meeting, it may be in the stage of being active. Currently, right now, there's discussion among the main principals as to the protocols and how the nurse practitioner will fit in with regard to state statutes and regulations that are required. So it's to the point of ironing out some of the legal wrinkles and then proceeding on. We have our other community paramedicine program that's presented and supported and being developed by the Orange County Fire Chiefs Association. And Dr. Miller's the lead on that program with the EMS agency. So I'm going to ask Ken to give a quick report on that.
Sure. The next major step for that project for alternate destinations is at the state level is on July 30, which is a second public hearing of the process. So after that public hearing in Sacramento at the OSHPD headquarters, the director of OSHPD will make a decision on the, I think it's 12 projects now statewide, to move them forward or not. So in the interim, until that decision is made and the destiny of those projects is determined, the local project is at a point where we are collecting baseline data, which doesn't change practice in any way. It's just a data collection period for what is our current baseline should the project move forward in order to compare changes in outcomes based upon the project later. The most recent step here locally on that basis is looking at the comparison now between field clinical outcome data and hospital outcome data. So that's about it.
Great. Then continuing on with the OCEMS report, I don't want to take over the chair. But, The OC Meds update. Right now with OC Meds, the system is working very well with over 95% of ALS field data coming in, validated, and many of the ambulance companies now submitting their data also through the program that's up and running. Where we're at right now with OC Meds is preparing for the conversion. It's not just in the state of California, but nationally, to the NMSIS 3 data system. It's really a data code book and a new format for data that allows for more interchangeability of the data. And also, we are beginning to work on interchangeability of the data between receiving hospitals and the EMS system, allowing the receiving hospitals to more easily, if you will, access pre-hospital data, and for Orange County EMS to access outcome data, at least to emergency department disposition level. So the program continues to function and operate well. We just went before the Orange County Board of Supervisors Tuesday, and the funding required to keep the program going was approved. So OC Meds is alive, well, and continuing to progress and develop.
Continuing with EMCC correspondence.
Yeah. Tammy?
So I'm going to back up. So because this goes to my the correspondence that the members received a couple weeks ago. To give you an update on the EMS plan that was submitted to the state in February of 2014, it is still up at the state, and they have done one ask of us so far, just to clarify some information and to identify which hospitals on a particular form. This is to the detail, this is what they're doing, asking us to let them know what our stroke and our STEMI centers are. This is not uncommon. This is a back and forth that occurs when we submit plans to them. It's also not uncommon for it to take over 6 months. So I just wanted to follow up and let the committee know that this the EMSA The EMS plan is still up at the state being reviewed, and so far the comments received have been fairly insignificant and just clarifications. That leads into the correspondence that was provided on June 13th that we sent out to the members and also sent out to our EMS system, just to do a recap of the ambulance ordinance revision process that was included in the EMS plan. So when we submitted the EMS plan in February, there were several standards that addressed the need to update the 1985 ordinance, and so the state is expecting us to update our ordinance. We've taken this plan, we've presented it to our agency, and the Board of Supervisors has reviewed the plan. And during the April 8th board meeting, in which the ambulance RFP was being discussed, there was a directive made at that time to come back to the board with revisions to the ordinance. So this, what I'm trying to explain, is a convoluted process that involves both our plan and the ambulance ordinance. So that's the first correspondence, and you have it in your packet as well. The second correspondence is dated May 1st, and this is just to provide you a copy of the EMSA's approval of the ambulance RFP extension. They acknowledged in that letter the two letters that the county had sent up, one from our office and one from the healthcare agency director and board chairman. It also acknowledged that there was a face-to-face meeting on April 23rd. I'm not going to go into the particulars of the letter, but essentially this extension is fairly unprecedented, and it's also contingent upon strict adherence to a timeline that's been established, which started out with the release of the RFP on May 19th and then ends with the contract being in place by March 2nd of 2015. I think one of the most important points to this is that during this extension, the exclusivity for all these areas will remain intact. The third correspondence that you have is the memo number 2048, dated May 23rd, and it was a request for evaluation committee members to send in a qualification form and a curriculum vitae to request to be seated onto an evaluation panel for the ambulance RFP. So I just wanted to bring it to the members' attention that this was sent out to the entire EMS system, we are actively trying to, we're not actively encouraging, but we have sent out the message, and we really encourage those who are interested and feel that they are qualified to submit that qualification form. Oh, if there's any questions.
Committee members have any questions for Tammy? No? Okay. The next agenda item is EMCC Advisory Subcommittee and Advisory Group Reports. The Education and Training met on May 7th. Mr. Powers, since you are the chair, do you have any comments?
We have a meeting planned also on July 2nd. There is no report from the previous meeting.
Thank you. Facility and CPAC?
Yeah, and I'll take those. The facilities committee meet, Dr. Anderson's the chair of that committee, and so I'll report on his behalf. And then CPAC, Dr. Brash is chair of that committee, and I'll report for the two of them. And much of what was discussed at both committees was similar. And I may have Mike DeLobby correct me or turf it to him if I get lost, but let me try and give a combined report. In the facilities as well as CPAC, the community paramedicine programs were discussed, and presentations made with regard to the Anaheim CCRU proposal. There were a number of questions that were asked, you know, impacts and things like that, and discussed policies, procedures, and how the programs will work were discussed. It was brought up in CPAC, but more in facilities, there was a discussion with regard to some problems that are happening at some emergency departments with regard to transfer of electronic medical information from the field to the, it's actually the electronic chart in the emergency department. Our staff, Laurent Rapass, was present, and staff were working on recommendations that came from both of those committees. We did discuss also chalk, as I discussed earlier in this meeting. And another issue, or if you will, program, just to make sure that everyone on EMCC is aware, is that the state EMS authority came up with guidelines for comprehensive children's centers. These would be centers that are tertiary centers for pediatric care outside of the trauma system. So these would be children that potentially have serious medical problems, complicated metabolic problems, and things that require great expertise. And that was discussed at facilities. Currently, CHOC, as well as Fountain Valley Hospital, and others, we've gotten questions and information from Saddleback Mission and other hospitals that are interested in exploring recognition based on the state guidelines for that type of level of tertiary referral center. The other things that one other thing that was discussed more at CPAC that came up was the AMA left in the field policy that went out for public comment. There was a great deal of public comment, and the policy currently has been pulled back, having received public comment, to be revised to go out again for more public comment, along with a couple of other policies. And I think that's all I have. So, Mike, is there anything else I left out that's important?
The only additional thing would be the two trauma centers that underwent.
Yeah, maybe something real important. about 2 to 3 weeks ago, Mission Hospital, as well as WestMed Santa Ana, underwent a survey. We, as most of the larger counties in, well, actually in the United States, have the American College of Surgeons, their national office, do our trauma surveys for us. And both centers went through the surveys. And Mike, well, we don't have the recommendations yet. We kind of have an idea what they're going to recommend. So we'll bring those back once we have that in writing. But both centers went through a very rigorous survey, and both did quite well. Thank you.
The next agenda item is unfinished business, the ambulance RFP and ground ambulance service rate increase. Tammy.
So I'm not going to go any more further over the ambulance RFP and skip right to the ground ambulance rate. This is the meeting that we are asking EMCC to endorse the proposed 1415 ambulance rate adjustment and the OCFA paramedic assessment fee. In the April EMCC meeting, there was quite a bit of documentation that it described this process. But what it comes down to is we have the proposed rate increase is basically computed upon a methodology that the Board of Supervisors prescribed back in 2007 that was slightly adjusted in 2012. So for this year, the proposed adjustment is an increase of 1.1%, and that was calculated using the percentage difference between the prior year's LA Riverside Orange County Consumer Price Index, all items change, and that essentially amounts to an $8.04 increase in the base rate. that 1.1% increase will also, it affects the maximum allowable 911 emergency ground ambulance rate for BLS that's chargeable to a patient at the request of public safety, as well as the OCFA maximum ALS fee. So that's a little bit of the background. And normally, the Ambulance Association will come up and do a presentation on this. And they declined this year, but I believe Jim Ruane's here to do a little piece for the ALS portion.
Good morning. My name is Jim Ruane from the Orange County Fire Authority. On your desk is an extensive packet of the process we go through to validate our rates. But what I've provided today, hopefully, is a one-page recap that will kind of walk you through the process, or not. I can scroll down. Yeah, we can do it the old-fashioned way and scroll down. So what happens is the annual rate increase is in accordance with our 2004 and 2009 contracts. 2004 were set for 10 years. 2009 were set for 5 years. They're both set to expire this September. We've extended them 6 months. We're in the process of extending them, and we assume this methodology will continue the new contracts. We have a not-to-exceed increase amount, which basically says whatever the BLS rate goes up is what the ALS rate will go up. For fiscal year 14-15, they're recommending 1.1%. And the other thing, with any type of fees, we cannot exceed the cost of providing services. In terms of what costs we do include, it's only the marginal cost of reimbursement. It's not the full cost of the engine that shows up or the paramedic van. And since OCMS is now conducting the process, we've backed out the auditing and legal costs we used to include in that. And that will be taken over by OCMS. In terms of the rates, Tammy said the BLS rate goes up $8. Our maximum ALS rate will go up $4.26. Our reimbursement rate, which was approved by our board of directors last night, will go up by $3. So that's a very minimal impact. Scroll down just a little bit more. What's interesting is there's a lot of misinformation about what really happens with that rate. In terms of cost recovery, best case situation where we roll on a patient that has full insurance with either an HMO or PPO, we only recover 65% of our cost. In terms of a Medicare patient, we only get 18% of that cost, and if it's a Medi-Cal patient, it's zero. There's a lot of rumors out there that this is a moneymaker for the fire departments. It is not. It's a cost of providing services. One little skip down. In terms of validating the rates, we do it two ways. We actually bring our outside auditors come in, they review our methodology, they give us a letter that's included in the package, say the methodology is consistent and it doesn't exceed the price of cost of doing business. And the second thing is what we call more of a common sense. How does our rate apply to the surrounding counties? And we're right there in terms of our surrounding counties. Nation or statewide, we're in the bottom third. So what you have in Orange County right now is reasonable cost of providing services, great care, instead of when you see in the survey, some of the counties are up in the $2,000 market for the same service. I'm available for any questions. If it's a technical question, Chief Lockhart's not here with me today, so we'll have committee participation from Doc Miller and Chief Blau.
Do the committee members have any questions or comments regarding the ambulance rate increase?
Yeah, I have one question. You talked about some of the duties were transferred to OCEMS. Can you explain that again?
What happens, usually when we were administering the contract, we had our auditors go out once a year to every provider and do a compliance audit. So let's say they all reported 90-95% compliance with the audit. Well, we went out there and actually checked their records. We also checked, if you told me you were going to have two dedicated units 24/7, we'd send them out there, we'd pull timesheets, we'd pull the logs, we'd also pull the triptychs, because if they're supposed to be dedicated to 911, they can't be running interfacility calls. We also went out there and say, hey, are you charging the correct rates or not? And we ended up with 10 steps. Legal is we did charge them for the cost of administering the contracts, setting up the contracts, and following through periodically with any updates we have with the providers. Yeah. So now that's all transitioned away. We're still responsible for some of the administration, though, because we'll be the guys on the line.
You know, Dr. Stratton, I know OCMS is going to assume some of this stuff. I know OCMS was a budget increased, so they were able to do that, or staffing. I know you're so they're limited over in your shop. How are you going to assume all of these things? And is there any way we could capture some of the funding through a process like this?
The RFP that was approved by the Orange County Board of Supervisors has now in it a $13.33 a prime number, $13.33 fee per run that will be used by the county to fund the supervision and oversight of the contracts. I also just proposed to the Board of Supervisors that they approve the purchase of one drone. No, that's totally a joke. Up to the point where I started that, we are within the RFP, there is a funding mechanism for the county to supervise the contracts. And the drone thing, I apologize, is totally inappropriate.
No.
But I couldn't resist.
Perfect, thanks. I want to make sure that when things are, given to OCEMS and all the additional stuff they've had to do, I know Tammy's pretty busy with everything. It's nice to, whenever we get these mandates or different direction that you have to go, it'd be nice to know that there's some funding and some staffing to be able to do the work that you do.
And our external auditors are available if you wanted to use them. They've done it for 3 years, and they're really familiar with the providers, they're familiar with the operating structure, and they're familiar with anything that might not look right. They've seen it all.
Any other committee questions or comments? No. Thank you, Mr. Wayne. Okay, so this is an item that the committee needs to vote on in terms of the ambulance rate increase. So all those in favor of the increase?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Anyone opposed? Okay. Passes. It's approved. The next agenda item is new business, the City of Costa Mesa Paramedic Assessment Unit Upgrade. Dr. Stratton.
Okay. Did you need more on the RFP? More to talk about? I will just say real quickly to backtrack, the ambulance RFP that we sort of tangentially talked about is up on BidSync, and anybody who is bidding on that RFP in the audience or here on the committee, make sure and follow BidSync, because there have been a couple of amendments clarifying the RFP. Moving to the City of Costa Mesa proposal for a unit upgrade, and the chief for Chief Sequins here from Costa Mesa. So if I start drowning, Chief, I'll have you come up. In fact, I think probably it might be a good idea to have you come up here in all. But while Chief Sequin's coming up to describe what the proposal is, it's a good idea, I think, for me to go over why we have to do this at EMCC. And the origins of EMS in California, in the 1960s, 70s, and into the 80s, when state statute, so legislative law, was written, anytime a ALS provider, a paramedic provider, increases services, that has to be approved by not just the EMS agency, but by the representative committee, EMCC. I'm not exactly sure. I don't know if Ron knows, but I'm not exactly sure why that was written in there, other than there had to be some political reason for it way back in the dark past. It is important that it be approved and that we review these. You would think more important would be any downgrades, but the emphasis in statute is upgrades. So that's why these come to our committee. The current proposal by Costa Mesa came in, and we internally, talked about it, whether it's a downgrade or not. I think if you'll look at the letter at the back of your packet that I received earlier in June, and just look at the last sentence of the first paragraph, you'll understand what Chief Sequin's going to describe here in a second. So we debated internally whether this is even an upgrade or not, because the definition of the term ALS unit is different depending on who you're talking to, but we wanted to bring it to the committee to make sure we crossed all the T's and all that kind of stuff. And what we'll be asking for is approval provisionally to approve this upgrade, because there are a couple more things we have to work with Chief Sequin, just to fill in some blanks on a form that we have. It's policy 705.05. We have to do a sort of a very light community impact statement and all. But Chief, if you want to go ahead and describe real quickly, now that I've stumbled through state statute and all.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you, and thanks for your time. Just to give clarity, we began a reorganization of the department 2 years ago, challenges with budgets, potential station closing, and what have you with everything else. In line of keeping with delivering the ALS service that we have, we needed to move forward. As we go now, we're into phase two, what we call, and once our ambulances we receive for the paramedics to go on and transition from the paramedic engines to the paramedic ambulances, we saw a need that there was, once the units went to the hospital, need to keep ALS service providers in our first dues, because we're already challenged with response times. This ability, by splitting the two paramedic engines and making them PAUs, still enables us to provide the ALS service for that first due area. And by the splitting, we can actually put one more unit in service. So now we'll have seven ALS units for providing for our citizens and visitors.
Great, thanks. So the, as I said, the last sentence kind of describes the redeployment. So there's no decrease or increase in the number of paramedics. It's simply a redeployment of the same number of paramedics. And I think if there are any questions, we could move to questions.
Okay. Any questions by the committee members? Comments? Okay. So then we need to approve this upgrade. All those in favor of approving the upgrade?
Aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Okay, it's approved.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next agenda item is member comments. Anyone have any comments that they want to address at this time?
Dr. Tom, I do. I'd just like to take a moment and express the fact that I feel it's been an honor being part of this committee. And I really would like to take a moment just to commend the members on the work that they do. This is very important activity, very important business. I'd like to thank Dr. Miller and Dr. Strafford for their work that they do. having been in this business now for nearly 39 years, I know well aware of the aspects of emergency medical services here in Orange County, and a lot of that is based upon the work that you do. So thank you very much, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you. Chief Hennessy, thank you for your service. We appreciate you sitting on this committee. Mr. Davis.
Well, I don't know how I'm going to follow your lead now. So I got 46 years in the county, though. I also want to thank everybody. And I've sat on this committee twice now, and it's been rewarding. I've learned a lot. And I know that the jobs that staff has to do here is not easy. I know they're having a lot of challenges right now, and I appreciate what they do, and I fully support the EMCC. And thank you again for having the honor to do so.
I also want to thank you, Mr. Davis, for sitting on the committee. It's been a pleasure working with you. We appreciate your service. Any other committee members?
Please. I too, in the spirit of thanking a very dedicated and thoughtful staff, Mission Hospital, as was mentioned, went through a trauma survey by the American College of Surgeons. And Dr. Stratton, Tammy, and Mike were very supportive of that journey, walking side by side with us. And it was greatly appreciated. So I wanted to say thank you.
Any other comments? Okay. So at this time, I'd like to open it to the public. If there are public comments, please keep in mind that the comments are limited to 3 to 5 minutes. Does anyone want to address the committee at this time?
There are no comments.
Comments? Okay, in light of this then, our meeting will be adjourned until August 22nd. Unless anyone is opposed, we are adjourned.